My name's Alex Harrison, and I'm with that that began the movement and took the first boats through that broke the Israeli siege and reached the shores of Gaza in 2008, taking the first boats through since 1967. I'd like to thank PSC also for organising this event tonight. In this latest voyage, I was a crew member aboard the Samud, the smallest boat in the flotilla, and as the smallest boat, for our safety, as we thought for our safety, we were sailing closest to the Mavi Marmara when it was attacked. And from my position on the flybridge, I could see, or we witnessed the early stages of the attack on the Marmara. You've heard Osama and Jamal speak eloquently about that. I would just like to refute Israel's suggestion that the deaths on the Marmara and the violence that they treated the passengers to on the Marmara were somehow a result of the reception they received on the Marmara. They treated all of the boats in the flotilla with violence. They did not treat any of us peacefully. And when they say that, that's an absolute lie. I was on a boat of 17 people, 7 men, 10 women. We were first chased by a warship that speeded at us and swerved at us as though they were about to ram us, as they have rammed our boats in the past. And then we were boarded by Zodiacs, as the Marmara initially was. The armed masked commandos on the Zodiacs began firing with rubber bullets before they even got onto our boat. The women on our boat stood on the decks, resisted only with their bodies, with no other implement. They were all shot repeatedly at close range, some hit with sound bombs, one seriously injured in the face, her nose was burnt and broken. And then everybody was tackled to the floor, put face down in the broken glass, which the soldiers had smashed on our boat. Many of the women were clipped behind their backs, which is very dangerous on such a small vessel. And two of the women were hooded, Guantanamo style. On the boat, or for the rest of the journey, we were subject to abuse and humiliation. An 8-year-old passenger on our boat was, when he asked to go to the toilet, was told to do it on himself, and eventually he had to. Abusing elderly people like that is appalling. Before we were boarded, we heard and saw the beginnings of the attack on the Marmara, and as we pulled around them, ourselves being pursued, we saw the helicopter coming down and we heard the sound of live gunfire. We radioed Captain Mehmet, the brave captain on the Marmara, and asked him what we should do. Should we stick close together with him for solidarity? I now know that at that point he knew that two of his passengers had been killed. He never told us. The brave captain just told us that he was under attack, but that we must go on, sail on, and try to get the footage out, try to outsail the communications blockout they had us under and get the footage out. 9 incredibly brave people on the Marmara, well, hundreds of incredibly brave people, but 9 incredibly brave people on the Marmara lost their lives. And I'm determined that must not be in vain. When we were in prison, we were held incommunicado, and I had no idea of the response outside. I had no idea that we'd had so much support. And I'm thrilled that while we were in prison, I had over 1,000 emails. Not one of them, not one single email was hate mail. And I had over 100 emails of people asking me how to join the organization and how to support us. That's fantastic. And I sincerely hope this is a turning point. But I stood here 18 months ago after the Gaza massacres and said the same. And I said, we're at a turning point. There's massive public opinion with us. Suddenly people know something has got to change. And a few months later, there was no significant change. Please, I am relying on you. We, Gaza, are relying on you. Palestine's relying on you. We have to make this count. We have to not make these latest 9 deaths be in vain. We don't want to be in this position again. I don't want to be up here in another year saying again, we've had more deaths, please make it count. This time, please make it count. You've heard a lot tonight about the appalling violence of the attacks. The outstanding feelings and emotions that I have actually are not about the violence that they used in that chaotic night raid on us, but in the way that we were treated in what should have been the calm aftermath from the moment that we were taken off our boats and the military operation was over, through our prison experience to the moment that they deported us. All the way through this, we were abused, manhandled, bruised, screamed at, whistled at, photographed against our will, humiliated. I can tell you any number of stories, but a few that stay with me is the image of the Turkish woman who'd seen her husband killed on the boat. He was shot in the head, one of the first casualties, and she'd stayed with him on the boat until they were made to disembark, and she was pulled away from him and thrown into prison with the rest of us. No consideration whatsoever given to her grief. 36 hours after he died, the prison authorities came with a new photo of him for her. His face, 36 hours dead, injured by a bullet wound and bloated beyond recognition, and she was told, identify him. Her words were, I could only recognize him from his mouth. And again, she was just left in prison with the rest of us, without even care from her consul. The callousness and inhumanity of everybody that we encountered still astounds me. This carried on even to the point when they were illegally deporting us, many of us against our will. I was in the last group of women, and we declined to be deported because we'd been stripped of all our possessions. I didn't want to go to another foreign country with nothing but what I was wearing, and I wanted to try and stay and have a court case to challenge the legality of what they'd done to us, as would be my legal right by their law. And of course, everything they did to us is illegal internationally. Once they took us from the prison, they kept us in metal vehicles in the cargo hold for 6 hours without toilet facilities or water. When they took us out of there, the last 15 women were put into a pen in the airport, surrounded by soldiers, again taking photographs, jeering, whistling, shouting, and on two occasions, with no provocation, they waded into the pen and began beating the women who at this point were being deported. Again, no military operation in progress, just abuse. And from our perspective in the pen, we could see men being brought through in small groups. At least three of the men were severely beaten, perhaps for just speaking for no good reason whatsoever. One of them, a London resident, was beaten so severely that he couldn't make the flight. The Israelis didn't even put him on the flight. Another only made the flight because the last group of women refused to embark without him because he was being an Irish citizen. He was being repeatedly beaten. But the saddest and most inhumane thing I saw there was seeing the Turkish injured men making their way to the plane. By this point, it was Wednesday evening, and the men were still in, I guess, what they'd gone to bed in on Sunday night before the attack. Injured, covered in blood. The Israelis had not even given them a change of clothes or allowed them to shower. They were still in their blood-stained clothes from Monday morning. And a great number of these men, I noticed, had a bandaged foot. And I asked somebody why. They said, it's from when the helicopter came down and they were shooting live rounds from above. These men were shot in the tops of their feet. But what really disgusted and saddened me was that these men were not even given a wheelchair or even a pair of crutches to get to the aircraft. And when anybody offered them an arm to walk with them, that person was screamed at, pulled away and beaten. And all these men who had been shot and were still wearing their bloodied three-day-old clothes were made to hop to the aircraft unaided. This is just pure abuse and humiliation. There is nothing else for it. But of course, what we went through is not 1% of what the Palestinians go through, and that's what it's all about. That's what we're all here for. We had a tiny taste of what Palestinians experienced, but only a tiny fraction. But the important difference is all the passengers and all of you here have governments that we elect and that we pay for that could and should represent us. Now, Osama has told you about our dealings with the British consul. He was actually standing there when I was being deported against my will, and I said, this is illegal. This is illegal under international law. It's illegal under Israeli law. And he said, yes, I know, but they do what they do. I can't stop them. Do you know who you are? You're a representative of the British government. What happened to that? Clearly, the British have no authority with the Israelis and no inclination to stand up to them. But I want to force them, and I'd like you all to do the same. I don't want the deaths of my Turkish colleagues to be in vain. I don't want to be standing here again and again. So for myself, and I'd like you to ask the same, I want to lobby loudly and lobby incessantly. We're going to force the British government to represent us and to take the action that we want. We have a massive public opinion with us now. We have to force them to represent our wishes. They can stop respecting the authority that Israel has illegitimately taken in the region. They can cut diplomatic ties with Israel. They can open direct talks with the authorities in Gaza, and they can start trading with Gaza. They can just ignore this siege that Israel has illegitimately imposed. They can send ships through, send commercial boats through, and trade with Gaza, and allow Gaza to have the economy that it could and should have. We just simply have to force our governments to ignore the power that Israel illegitimately takes. There is not a natural disaster in Gaza. This is not about aid. You may have heard that the Free Gaza cargo ship, the Rachel Corrie, was taken into Ashdod by the Israelis. And you may have heard the response in Gaza. They said if they were offered the aid from it, they would refuse it. They don't want aid. This is not about aid. This is about their human rights, freedoms, and dignity. That's what the people of Gaza want. If you'd like to support the boats, and if you win the lottery, I'd ask you to support the people who are sending the boats. That's Free Gaza, the European campaign to end the siege, Greek ship to Gaza, Swedish ship to Gaza, and the Turkish group, and our wonderful hosts, the IHH. If, like most of us up here, you're broke, the least you can do is lobby your politicians and force our government to take action.